Cato.
Cato.
Yes, thank you. Okay, as was mentioned, I'm going to be talking about racial ethnic disparities in prescription drug use using a population-based survey. My name is Dima Cato. I'm from the University of Chicago. I first want to acknowledge my co-authors and our sources of funding. And I also want to note that the data set I'm going to be presenting on is publicly available at the NACDA website. So if anyone's interested in learning more about that, you can contact me. And I have no financial disclosures. I don't have a separate slide on that, but I just want to make that clear. As we just heard from several speakers, that health disparities are still persistent in the United States, and I'm going to be focusing on prescription drugs and what factors are associated with disparities in prescription drugs in the U.S. among older adults. We know that the vast majority of older adults use prescription drugs. It's been noted in several studies, and they use more than any other demographic group in the U.S. And while the overuse of drugs is common, many adults suffer from chronic conditions, and they need drugs to decrease morbidity and prevent mortality, and it's critical to their health. Several studies have documented differences in RX use, one being the Medicare Current Beneficiary Survey, and they noted that blacks and Hispanics use a similar number of prescription drugs after adjusting for health status, demographics, and insurance status. However, even though these studies have important information, their limitations are notable. And for one, they're outdated. The most recent study for MCBS uses 1999 data, and several other studies using MEPS use 2003-2004 data. And these studies are claims-based, so they're not population-based, and they exclude respondents with no prescription drug use, and therefore potentially underestimate racial and ethnic differences. So why is this important? It's important, for one, because implications of these differences may be important in understanding why minorities may be dying or suffering from disease more than the majority of the population, because prescription drugs are just critical to improving health when used and prescribed appropriately. And two, that the elderly and minority populations are growing in the U.S. quite dramatically. And specifically for prescription drugs, the public is increasingly responsible for ensuring access to prescription drugs in the elderly through Medicare Part D. Racial ethnic disparities in health among older adults may be partly explained by disparities in prescription drug use. So it's unclear whether previously described disparities, because they were outdated and are claims-based, will persist using recent population-based data. So the objective for our presentation today is to assess whether the use of prescription drugs varies by race, ethnicity among older adults in the U.S., and to determine what factors are associated with these disparities. I'll be using the National Social Life Health and Aging Project, which collected data between 2005 to 2006. It consisted of an in-home interview of 3,005 community-dwelling older adults between ages 57 and 85. It's a nationally representative population-based probability sample. It had a minority oversampling, and the response rate was around 75.5%. That's the weighted response rate. And it had a directly observed medication log, so respondents were asked to basically bring all the medications that they currently use on a regular schedule every day or every week, and this includes prescription, over-the-counter, and alternative medications. However, for this specific presentation, I'm only going to be looking at prescription drugs. So in terms of methodology, I'll be descriptive statistics for the prevalence estimates, and logistic regression analysis will be used as well. Prescription drug use is the dependent variable, so a respondent either used at least one prescription drug or did not use at least one prescription drug. And then stepwise adjustment for demographic and health characteristics, socioeconomic status, and access to care. The variables are, for demographic, your typical age and gender. for socioeconomic status, its household income, education, and employment. Access to care was insurance status, which was basically uninsured versus Medicare, private, and private insurance or public insurance. And health characteristics included self-reported health and the number of chronic conditions, which was, have you ever been diagnosed in the last 10 to 12 months with a series of several conditions? Not several, about eight. This is the estimated population distribution, which is representative of the U.S. elderly population. So you had 81% white, 10% black, and 7% Hispanic, 3% other. I won't be looking at the other race ethnic group just because for the sample size, it's not possible. So in terms of overall prescription drug prevalence, you see that 82% of older adults use prescription drugs between 57 and 85 years old. There really is no significant difference between blacks and whites. However, blacks are used slightly more. There is a significant difference between Hispanics, whites, and between Hispanics and blacks and Hispanics and whites. 71% of Hispanics use prescription drugs compared to 84% in blacks and 82% in whites. So there appears to be ethnic differences, but really no racial differences up front without adjusting for other factors. So what factors explain these differences? We used multivariate logistic regression to determine what factors reduced or widened the racial gap, racial ethnic gap in RX use. In the unadjusted analysis, which is over here, we see what we expect given the overall prevalence, that blacks are equally likely to be using prescription drugs compared to whites, whereas Hispanics are significantly less likely to be using prescription drugs. After adjusting for demographics and health characteristics, however, blacks and Hispanics were still both significantly less likely to be using prescription drugs. So this kind of shows that even though in unadjusted analysis, it seems like blacks are using the same kind of rate of prescription drugs as whites, when you account for kind of the need factors of health and the prevalence of chronic conditions and age and gender, you see that, you know, they're basically less likely to be using drugs than whites. After adjusting for the SES characteristics, racial disparities are reduced and are no longer significant. However, ethnic disparities persist. I mean, they're narrowing, but they're still there. Finally, adjusting for insurance status and having an unusual source of care, you see that racial disparities and ethnic disparities are only marginally significant. But again, they narrow, but Hispanics are still less likely to be using prescription drugs than whites. But it improves after accounting for SES and access to care differences. So really, in conclusion, there are racial and ethnic differences in prescription drug use among older adults in the U.S. Factors associated with these differences include SES, income, education, employment status, and access to care. However, the quality of care and appropriateness of therapy implications are quite limited just because we looked at the use of aggregate use of prescription drugs, not if they're indicated or not. Even though we controlled for chronic conditions and self-reported health, you really can't say that they're being used appropriately or not used appropriately. So the quality of care implications are limited in that sense. And that longitudinal studies focusing on the impact of these differences on health outcomes are important. In terms of implications, what this all means, it seems that minorities may have some unmet healthcare needs in the U.S., and the underuse of needed medications is probable, given that previous studies have documented, including ARC, some publications in ARC and the disparities report, that minorities are significantly more likely to be not prescribed prescriptions that are indicated. So just given this data, it seems that that's possible, and there's unmet healthcare needs in the minority population. Or, you know, overuse and overprescribing in the white population may be common as well, which is also documented. and differences in prescription drug use may be contributing to the persistent disparities in health that we see over the last decade. And disparities in RX use hasn't really been addressed extensively in the public health domain, so this kind of highlights the need to better understand prescription drug use and access to prescription drugs in the minority population, minority communities. And we also need to address other factors that are not observed, and these include patient-level factors like beliefs and practices that are associated with race, neighborhood characteristics, and prescriber-level characteristics in terms of, does the type of prescriber that you go to affect the types of prescription drugs, or if you get prescription drugs for specific conditions, and the type of health system factors, which basically relate to what type of health facility you go to. So if certain populations go to a hospital versus a primary care center, are they getting prescription drugs, or are they not getting, and how does that vary by race, ethnicity, and especially when you're looking at use, because that is predicated on regular use, so not just taking a medication once, which is captured in a lot of these other studies in the last 12 months have you used a prescription drug. This study aimed at measuring actual use of drugs, so do you regularly use medications, and if you do, what are they, and then we kind of documented them. So if someone goes to the ER and gets a prescription for pain, and they don't regularly use it, or a prescription for hypertension, then it wouldn't be considered regular user. They wouldn't be considered regular users, and therefore they're undertreated. Finally, if factors responsible for these differences in prescription drugs are not adequately addressed, policies aiming to improve drug coverage alone, like Medicare Part D, may not be sufficient in ensuring equitable access and use of prescription drugs in minorities, which is basically the kind of goal of Medicare Part D right now. And limitations. Well, cross-sectional data has its limitations, but it's still very useful. We use self-reported chronic conditions that limit the implications of the findings. So, is it overuse, overuse in whites, underuse in minorities, or undiagnosed in minorities, whites? We really can't say for certain. And we did not capture prescription drug coverage. We captured health insurance coverage. And that's an important factor in our longitudinal data that we'll be capturing. And again, the unobserved factors including patient preferences for treatment, because we know some minorities may be resorting to alternative forms of care, alternative therapies, over-the-counter type treatments, and prescriber and health system characteristics are not assessed. And that's all. Thank you.
Few questions from the group. So thank you for that. And just a quick advertisement for the medical care section. And there is a sheet that was passed around and I haven't gotten it back. So if someone has the sign-up sheet for me, I would be grateful. And I'll pass this around here. If you're interested in joining some of our sessions, we do a great deal of population-based health. And with that, we'll open it up to questions. We've seen this audience with lots of work in this field.
Yeah, just the curiosity in that last survey, and it was shared, you got a very substantial response rate, and the subsequent analysis controlled for some of the factors, but it wasn't clear to me if the target population was stratified to some sensal estimate on the different dimensions on race and ethnicity. In other words, did you use weighted data, mm-hmm. and did you have adjustments for non-response?
Yeah, we did.
So that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Other questions? Yes.
I have a more general question. So I wasn't here last year to see what you all worked on then, but based off of the work that you did, all you had a pretty universal idea that you were looking to do more things.
I can start with the disparities report. Our reports are annual, so we will be continuing to report on this data. other derivative products. The state snapshot is one of them. That's also produced online. So we cut our data by state, so users can look at how their state is doing in terms of healthcare quality and disparities.
I'm going to raise a couple of issues. I've done some work, and not a lot, but some work with racial disparities in mental health service use for children, particularly prescription drugs. And so I'm always interested in the denominators. And so when you get volunteer participants in a survey, I wonder how comfortable you are with the generalizability of that information. Particularly where race is involved, where I get huge disparities when I'm looking at Medicaid kids, for example, it's twofold or more, 2.5-fold. I mean, it's really big disparities, yet they all have coverage, but, you know, they ain't using the services all the same way, and so those differences become important to me because, you know, we're really looking at much, much more serious issues. The second point I would raise, and then let you all tear me apart here, is things like pediatric asthma, another topic dear to my heart. How do I interpret a higher use for black kids in using when we have lots of issues around severity of the illness? You know, are we really free to interpret it all as you're not using the service properly? You know, outpatient services, that's why you're winding up in the hospital. I think there's a lot of gray stuff in there about that I'd like to know. Are you going to be teasing these things apart in a way that makes us more comfortable?
Well, we have had a lot of those discussions in our interagency work group. Particularly the pediatric asthma hospitalizations. And that's actually one of the reasons why in our future reports, that will no longer be a core measure. And we're going to be keeping it in the measure set. But because of those concerns of severity and how to interpret, we've actually, we're looking into other types of measures for asthma, for example. We've included in the next report, we're going to include a measure on asthma medication. And that I think will also be, I think it also is a good, not sure. But you know, we do have those discussions. And so there are different ways that we can, you know, deal with that. And as it said, we every year assess our data set and make improvements, search for other sources of information, other data. So it's an ongoing process. It's evolving. The first question about mental health and kids, not all of our surveys are population-based. Some of them are administrative data. And so it depends on the topic area. It depends on the measure. And we do assess those issues as well when we're selecting quality measures.
Yes. Questions for Dr. Miller. I missed the beginning of the presentation, so I have to set this up. I'm sorry. But I'm wondering if the CPS data set that you used, everything you reported was based on CPS, et cetera. So that, of course, is the geocoded data set. So you can link that to neighborhood variables and environmental variables. Okay, well, anyway, a better question is, are there questions in
included in the CPS, other variables that are not education or income, but things like long-term unemployment, housing stability, and other more social determinant variables that people use.
And yes, there are some. I think CPS is very good on income data. I think it's most complete some of the reporting, as far as I know. And there are also questions on labor force, obviously labor force participation, mm-hmm. questions are in great detail. And you have some questions on equity limitations.
No, I'm saying housing stability. Because a lot of the data sets I look at, the only thing you see is, do you own your own home? But there's very little about whether or not you're doubled up. Are you borderline homeless?
Honestly, I would have to drill down. You can go to Data Ferret. Data Ferret is the utility which allows you to go to the CPS data. It's just for the taking. It's looking it up. Go to the Data Ferret. You have to download the program, and then it allows you to get into the database, which is, I think, maintained by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it gives you the March supplement data, which has some health data in it, which I use, and it gives you access to many other labor-related things. So you might want to look at it, but I cannot answer the housing question. It may or may not be there.
Okay, thank you.
Let me answer the question, young lady. First, when I started out through Data Parent, finding this data source, I realized these are questions which are asked naturally in the National Health Interview Survey, and they're pretty much the same form, not identical. So I don't know when, but I had a lucky moment, and I found your data source, which is a plug you want, you know. And it is an excellent, well-documented data source. And what I did is I expanded the analysis I showed, and that was a few months later when I had some time, and I included some behavioral variables like smoking and alcohol use and such things. And I tracked also back as far as I could, given the limitation of some of the racial characteristics, to the year 1997. So the comparison was then between 1997 and 2006. 2007 data just came in as part of was announced. So I haven't looked at those yet. But the relative stability I showed up on that global measure of self-reported morbidity is very stable. And naturally, as I mentioned, the first limitation is just one measure. So you have to look at other measures and you may find different things with that might. Obviously, once you drill down to medical care-related measures, you would expect some improvement. Because there have been some actions at the global scale. I haven't seen much, so even when I backtracked for the last 10 years, things are relatively stable. But if somebody else doesn't answer.
Okay, seems like we've got all our questions answered, and so it's onwards and upwards, and keep reducing the gap, right? Thank you all. Find my sign-up.
It's in the back.
Excellent.
Sign-up
thanks so much.
You mentioned about a form you can hire copies of this college report. And I saw you could also get it online. Oh, could I have that? Oh, I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And then I guess you check it out. Sign up for future.
Yeah.
On the website.
This is a report, so it must be a lot of great. It's just sort of striking.
Hello.
Is that interesting? Yes. So you've seen that before?
Thank you.
others raised. So the foremost prominent way is the society race. The assumption was always you could use self-reports because they were good proxies for
Indian
if I can.